Remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. Good afternoon to everyone. On today's co-chair call of the Who is Service Requirements Survey call, we have Michael Young, Don Blumenthal, Werner Staub, Wilson Abigaba, and from staff we have Liz Gaster and myself, Gisela Gruber. If I could just remind you to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Michael.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for coming to the call. I appreciate your time and your effort. We are now a little bit further behind. I guess I'll do a little introductory on where we seem to be. And Liz, correct me if I get anything wrong, but we had kind of hoped at this point that our draft charter would have been approved by the council. But there's a little bit of a concern on the registrar side, so they've asked for more time to review. And Liz, can you provide a little bit more of the expectation of what will happen with that and what the outcome likely will be?
I have not heard anything more about their concerns or that they continue to have concerns. I am going to follow up with Tim Ruiz before the call, but the postponement is something that is sort of typical council policy if requested by any council member to give them more time. So I think it's just probably just routine and that they'll vote in favor of the charter on the next call, which is the 6th, Thursday the 6th.
Okay. So do you think it comes down to that not everyone had a chance to review it, really, and that's where the delay comes from, more than anything?
Primarily, but I think also the registrars have had continuing concerns about all of the WHOIS studies, whether they'll provide meaningful information, you know, to inform future policy. And Tim specifically raised, you know, the issue that this is, you know, a bigger project than was first envisaged by the council, and I believe it is a bigger project than they originally envisioned. And so I do think it was important to clarify that this work, you know, will involve not only execution of the survey, but subsequent analysis of the survey by, you know, someone. So Tim did, you know, he did note that we were converting from a drafting team to a working group, and that there's a more substantial time frame for deliverables, and the rigor that Chuck Gomes and Aubrey Doria recommended initially, which is something that I think this group has concurred with and wanted to stay true to, you know, in terms of, for example, having that independent assessment of the survey, you know, as well as having the council review the survey before it goes live, were things that several thought were, you know, quite important and, you know, would add to the acceptance of the outcomes and the quality of the outcomes, and that was important to do. So I'm hoping that's just informational. It is important for the council to appreciate fully, you know, the extent of the work that they request when they do request it, and sometimes it requires some scoping on the part of the drafting team to size the amount of work and make a recommendation for how that work, you know, would be handled, which is the case in this case where the group got together and, you know, clearly recognized that there's work after the survey is done and that there was sort of a gap between what the council instructed this group to do and what would ultimately have to happen, which involves, you know, doing that extra analysis, which, you know, from my perspective on staff, it would be, I think, if the community, you know, you all create the survey and execute the survey, it would put us in a bit of a difficult position to have to analyze the survey without your input or, you know, active involvement. So, you know, from a staff perspective, I certainly supported this notion that the group remain in existence or get reconvened to do the analysis as well as the development of the survey, which was, you know, part of Tim's brief comment. So it was just a brief comment in the course of the meeting last time, and you know, I have every reason to think it'll get supported at the next call.
Okay. one of the things I wonder, Liz, if there's some concerns. I mean, what's different about this WHOIS work as compared to, you know, the previous efforts to some degree is that we're, you know, the subject matter here, the survey is about WHOIS requirements, and we've actually, the fact that this, we've proposed something that is thorough, that should really support the bottom-up multi-stakeholder approach quite readily and well. Do you think there's some concern or fears that some of the, you know, next steps obviously is beyond the scope of this group, but, you know, the results of our work may lead to ultimately PDPs requiring one or more of these requirements to be, you know, on a mandatory basis? And is that where some of the fears are?
To a GNSO community, that's what people worry about. So, I mean, that's the, to me, that seems clear. But another, I think, benefit to this group or distinction between, important distinction between this group and the other WHOIS studies, which I would also make on the next call if need be, is that this group is really picking up where the WHOIS service requirements report left off. That was previous work that the GNSO Council requested, and it was really, the onus was on the GNSO Council when it made the decision to convene this drafting team to take action in some way on that report, that it was a report that was requested in May of 2009. It was completed in 2010 after, you know, substantial community review, you know, an interim report, a draft report, you know, a draft final report, and, you know, it languished for a while, but I think the GNSO felt that it was timely to act on this report, and that this group is really just an outgrowth of that rather than a new initiative. It's very much, you know, just a next step to try to make that report meaningful or put that report into context, into a global context of, you know, how does the community view each of these proposed requirements. So rather than being a new initiative, I think it very much is a continuation of something the council already has invested, you know, a lot of staff resource and time and community resource and time into.
Okay. Thank you, Liz. Does anyone have any other questions for Liz? Okay, hearing none. I'd like to go to agenda bashing. And ask if anyone would like to extend or add to the draft agenda. Okay, I'd like to actually add to the draft agenda, if that's okay. I think I'd like to add, probably after the third point, for us to go through the co-chairs and get an update as to where they are in with their groups. Have they met with their group, and if so, where are they in their project planning and their work scope planning? And then, additionally, I think also to insert before us deciding on the target or objective for Dakar, I'd like to update the co-chairs and talk a little bit about what's going on in the ITF WEIRDS discussion list, which I think a couple of you are on already anyways.
This is Werner, just a question. On the Adobe Connect, I see the draft agenda for 21st July. Is there been something wrong here?
I think that's meant for today, isn't it? Liz, but it's the wrong date.
That's old, actually, too. That was for the previous meeting.
Okay. I just assumed it was the wrong date. Okay.
It's actually, I can leave up the Part A and Part B, although I think it's changed slightly.
Okay. All right, so.
Sorry.
So I think we still need to, the part that was valid on there was the Dakar objectives. We've had a little update on where the council is at. I added my 2 points I wanted to cover. Was there anything else anyone else wanted to cover?
Not right off.
Okay. So why don't we go around the circle and ask people to talk about where they're at with their teams. And Warner, you want to start just pulling someone blindly out of the...
There's no blind. I haven't been able to do anything up to now with my team at all. So we haven't. Progressed in the I know that the members of the team are. They're not many actually. But I haven't. I have actually waited until they have a chair meeting to do the next step. And these last couple of weeks were so intense that it wasn't actually fully available for him, and even my day job.
Okay.
Which is one of the concerns I have for the time is coming because of the ICANN Niji Kyobi program. Many of us are extremely tied up with the things that we haven't quite expected to be as intense as they're now proven to be.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. I share the same struggles as the rest of the teams here. So, let's jump to Wilson. And Wilson, where are you at?
Myself, we haven't yet done much in our subgroup. Mainly because I'll first need to hear from the group one, that's the questions, before we engage seriously in finding the tools and finding the survey tools and how to get a questions to the respondents. I think most of our input comes from group one, but when we meet in a week's time or have only discussions, I'll also talk about what we can do before group one gives us any set of the questions.
Well, I guess that's a good question. There's some of the work that is linear. However, I think that there can be a fair bit of work done, whenever you have open time to do it, Wilson, in terms of investigating a mechanism and appropriate tools. One of the other objectives of Group 2 is to kind of work through how we can structure the physical nature of the survey in order to capture the kind of responses, because we want to figure out a mechanism as well with the survey to allow us to develop some kind of prioritization back from the questions, right? So I guess for now what you could do is start looking at mechanism tools and methodologies of distribution.
Okay, yeah, we shall start on that next week as well. It's certainly now by mail next week to discuss about that.
Okay.
As we ask your questions. Thanks.
Yeah, and you may want to do some, take some tools, some available tools out there now and run trials on them, right, and see what you think of them. There's a number of survey tools out there as well.
Yeah, probably SurveyMonkey or Google, also the Google spreadsheets.
Yep.
Google
and,
Docs. So we shall look at all of them and also the format of the questions before we agree on which tool to use.
Yeah. Okay, and then Liz, is there any standard ICANN tools that we can make use of for this mechanism that you guys already have contracted or,
In terms of survey tools?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've used SurveyMonkey the most, I think. I told Steve Chang he didn't need to be on this call, and this is a good question for him. So let me double check that, and I will post the answer to the list.
Okay. Great. So, SurveyMonkey was probably one that all of us would jump to first anyways to look at. Being popular.
To an ICANN survey for the ASO review, which is only the Google system, and it was rather good, so really easy to respond. It was a single page, even though it was a long page, but much easier to use than those surveys that have many, many pages and don't allow you to go back. So I like that simplicity of that tool. It's probably something to look at using the example of the ASO review survey.
So if we could find that example, Warner, and send that to Wilson, that would be great.
I'll give up.
I think one issue that I was just hearing about with regard to surveys when you go back, like if you can't finish the whole thing in a sitting and you need to go back, is that there has to be a way for the survey to remember you. And sometimes, depending on how you set it up, there can be privacy issues associated with that.
Yeah, I guess that is. So, Wilson, I guess it's an issue for you to look into, right? Can we issue some kind of session ID for people and still truly maintain anonymity? Because usually when you even issue a temporary anonymous user ID, it's got to be confirmed through an email account.
And I just don't
know. That's actually the way of doing it. In the case of the ASO survey, what they did was to have it on a single page, so there was never any need to go back until, you know, then finally, you know, you, if your browser itself would remember the responses, and when you finally pressed, okay, that's it, then there wasn't any reason to go back. It was actually had confirmed that it was done. So
yeah.
the single page mode was helpful in that respect.
Yeah. Warner, I guess what happens if, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, like the rest of us at our day job, and I start to fill out the survey, and I get distracted from, you know, by my day job, and, you know, I end up shutting the session down, closing the browser or something incidentally, and I don't have a, you know, some kind of at least anonymous user ID to go back in with.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's the...
And also having them on one page will really depend on the number of questions.
Yeah. This is probably going to be a lengthy survey. So I guess that would be a nice objective in the tool if we can do it, if we can allow people to be able to complete it in more than one session or sitting, rather, and retain their anonymity, that would be fantastic. I don't know that we can guarantee that. But it's worth looking into, if you could, Wilson.
Okay. Just repeat that again.
Pardon me?
Michael, I beg your pardon, Michael.
Yes. I was saying, if you could, when you're looking at the tools, see if it's possible some way to allow somebody who's taking the survey or trying to take the survey anonymously, if they can't finish the survey all at one sitting, if there's some temporary way, if there's some way to give them an anonymous identification to allow them to log back in at a later time and complete the survey, that would be fantastic.
Okay.
If we can come up with a reasonable mechanism.
Sure. Okay, we'll consider that.
And what Warner was saying is important is that if the actual way the survey is structured is if it's ultimately a single web page, then it allows them to basically scroll back up to previous questions if they changed mind as a result of questions lower in the survey. Might make them change their mind on earlier responses that they gave.
Okay.
But that's actually a mechanism. I guess really the requirement would be that if I'm on, you know, let's say there's 50 questions in the survey and I'm on question 40 and my answer to question 40 makes me think I should also change my answer that I've already done on question 20, that I have the ability to go back to question 20 and adjust my answer. That would be the requirement.
Oh, okay, yeah, that would be, we shall consider that, and possibly even if there are many pages, we shall also have to see if the whole page doesn't refresh. If the whole page doesn't refresh, then makes it faster and also easier for the respondent.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, but yeah, depending on the number of questions, if there are so many, then we shall have too many pages, so not to discourage the respondent that there are so many and may take much of his or her time. But also
yeah.
Be intelligent that they actually complete them. Okay.
Exactly. Well, I think one of the goals around a survey tool is that it's easy enough to use that you don't get a high abandonment rate while people are doing the survey.
Okay.
And then the other thing would be, you know, what not just the answers to the surveys and how we can access the data when the surveys are all done, which obviously we'd love to have lots and lots of features and options for retrieving the results of the survey and examining and automated reports and all kinds of and graphs and lovely things from our answers. But you know, also like we'd like to know what other tools or capacities or capabilities the survey system has that might be beneficial for us. Anything that we you know, bells and whistles that we didn't think of that might end up making this easier to deal with, such as a report on abandonment rate would be, I think, really interesting for us. So not only do we want to see how many people finish the survey, but if we can see that, you know, out of 1,000 people actually started the survey and we saw that, you know, 60% of them abandoned the survey, we know we didn't write a very easy-to-use survey, and people got bored and left.
Okay, we shall consider that. We shall, from the survey itself, we shall make sure that we are able to know how many people attempted to open the page but did not start the survey, or how many people actually started the survey but did not complete it. And from the results, we shall consider to make them to be able to export them in so many other formats, such that they can easily be imported into other programs for more sophisticated reporting. For example, I can export them to Excel and then have to draw the charts and all that. But I'll make sure that we can get as many reports as we can from there, but also
Right. Export
them in different formats like command image files or XML, so that we can be imported in other, like SPSS or Excel, for more advanced reporting.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And it'd be good for the abandonment rate if they actually gave statistics as to which questions they walked away at. Because, you know, the more information we have, the more we can kind of try and derive why they didn't finish the survey. You know, if everyone left it exactly the same question, then you can postulate that we had something to do with that particular question. Right.
Okay. At this point, can I ask, the question can really be postponed later. If we, like, when we've launched the survey, and maybe after 1 week we realize that there's a problem, most people are stopping at question number 5, or most people are getting stuck somehow, can we modify it either silently or by informing other people, but modify the survey when it's already running, if we realize that there's a problem with it?
Well, I think that in the process we described, we want to have almost a test group or an initial takers group. We talked about that maybe the council members themselves would be a test group.
Okay.
Yeah. But some type of beta group would be useful for us to understand, is the survey in a structure that people are completing it, and B, the other thing we were worried about when we talked in earlier calls was whether or not people trying to test, do a sanity check on the survey questions and try and make sure that people understood what we were actually asking for on each question. So that was the other point of concern we had. And that's also when we started talking about having a third party review the survey independently and give us feedback on it, whether or not we've done a good job suggesting modifications or improvements.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay. Does anyone have any... Wilson, do you have any other questions?
Yes.
Does anyone have questions for Wilson? Okay.
Why don't we jump? Can be sent at any time, really.
Absolutely, Wilson.
If anyone has questions, they can. Yeah. They can send them at any time.
Did you have anything else that you want to ask now?
I'm sorry, Don. I forgot to the question. I obviously should have. There's a question that I obviously should have, which is the kind of responses, you know, the kind of questions that we can ask, because that will, of course, affect the authoring, you know, the
absolutely.
And I assumed that we have a consensus that we would use essentially only questions that can be responded to with the checkboxes, no other forms of response, or maybe at some point an open question, but these would actually require manpower to interpret. Or do we have
right.
a different this?
I think ideally we would like to have absolute answers where they select a box, yes. I think to be fair, though, we have to allow some type form of commentary. I don't know if maybe what we do is we allow a single comment box at the end of the survey, that if people want to talk about additional issues or items, they can do it in a single comment box, which I think would be easier for us to process than if we allowed, say, a comment box on every question. The other thing, Warner, that I think we need is, and, you know, we're leaving this to you really help derive in your group, and that is we need some way, some feedback mechanism to kind of prioritize how important they think the requirements are, what order of urgency and importance. Not just importance, but urgency, because they can be two different issues. And so I don't know if we ask that specifically in the questions. We could make that questions themselves, or we could actually, you know, when you're answering the question, it could be a twofold answer. You could have, you know, A, B, C, and D, and then on the bottom of the question, you could have like a 1 to 10, how important was this question to you, priority scale. And, you know, they can answer that on a 1 to 10 scale or something like that. So that's something to think about. But that's really something we need your group to make some suggestions on.
Okay. Actually, we may have need some kind of interaction as we go on proposed questions, you know, check on their feasibility, with the help of Wilson's group, to see, you know, we should actually change the question rather than trying to force things down a polling method that is not actually ideal.
Right. Right. Okay. Should we move to Don? Is there any other questions on Wilson, what Wilson had been saying, and now what Warner was talking about? Okay. Don, do you want to tell us where you're at?
I think Don had to drop off.
Did we lose him?
No, I think he had to drop off. I think something must have come up.
Oh, that's really unfortunate.
Okay. He has a note in the chat.
Oh, I missed that. Oh, I see that now. Yep. Shoot. Okay. Liz, what I'll do, guys, what I'll do is I'll phone Don, because I'm going to talk about, let me give you a little update what's happening on the weirds group list, because I was going to actually, I think there was an action item for Don derived out of that, if no one has any objections, but let me talk to the issue. The weirds group, just to reiterate, in case not everyone's familiar with it, but I think you all are, the Weirds group is right now a pre-working group discussion list in the ITF circle, and it's discussing from a technical group perspective who is firemen's. And the list actually has got a few what we call internet drafts IDs that people have submitted around their concepts of what's needed for kind of next generation who is considerations. And the list was, the purpose of the list was to generate some discussion around these internet drafts, these IDs. And I think it would be, it would not hurt for all the chairs in this group to read a or at least attempt to, because some of them are a little thick, but at least read the introduction sections or the summary sections of each of those IDs to get an idea of where the pure technical community is going from their perspective. They have a very different additional set of viewpoints on who is, because who is within ICANN circles is really thought of as a registry side product. In the technology unity, it's also thought of as not just names, but also a numbering who is system. In other words, you use who is to look up associations, who's responsible for IP addresses on the Internet. So that adds another dimension of requirement or concerns about who is services, and opens all kinds of questions such as, you know, should there actually be the equivalent of a who is service that's orientated and just deals with IP numbering, and then another who is service type of who is service protocol that's just dealing with the point of view from domain registries. And
Could you just spell the acronym that you pronounced in a working group name? Because
it's like the word weird, W-E-I-R-D-S.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a weird. If you could type it into the chat also, so they make it easier for everybody to understand it.
You know what? I'll get some link information to everybody and send it to the list, okay? As well. You see it? Don't ask me what it stands for. I don't remember. They always like to come up with these clever names that spell funny abbreviations, acronyms. I think people like to have a little fun with these things. So what's really interesting about the discussion in the group, yep, there you go, you found it. Warner, would you mind sending that actually to the mailing list? That'd be great. It wouldn't hurt for all the chairs to join that mailing list. Like I said, there's a lot of traffic on it. The discussions go sideways a fair bit and get quite technical. But every once in a while someone pulls it back to the actual requirements discussion, not necessarily the how are you going to technically do this. And that's actually at a point they're at right now. Andrew Sullivan, who is a fellow I worked with for some years at Afilias and has worked in our industry for a long time, and he's with Steve Crocker's company now, whose name now escapes my mind. What was that?
Shinkuru?
That's it. Thank you, Liz. Yeah. So he's working with Shinkuru, and anyways, he's on this list, and he's written a draft charter and that he circulated to the list just the last couple of days in anticipation of trying to file a formal BOF, which in the IETF is called is short for Birds of a Feather meeting. It is kind of the kickoff meeting where people basically vote on whether or not they're going to initiate a working group on something. And his draft is important because it states some basically prioritized requirements for a new or next generation who is service. And so they're kind of rolling ahead of where we're at. And there's no overt coordination or interaction, although Steve Shang and some others are monitoring the group, Liz. There's no formal interaction or requirement for them to look at the requirements in the report that we're dealing with. Nor is there any requirement or induction of the results we find from the survey driving their prioritization. So the only way the IETF works is you get into the working group and you try and convince the working group or influence them as to you know, as an individual, because it's the way it's structured, as to what you think the priority should be, or the work should be, or once you get into the work, how you actually solve things technically. Okay? And I think it would be good for Dawn, his group was actually supposed to be in charge of, you know, circling back to stakeholders. So I would think this would fall into his area of responsibility. I think it'd be good for Dawn to, who is on that list, I asked him to do that some weeks ago, ask him to introduce what we're doing to that group and make sure that he draws a link in that mailing list back to the requirements report so that people in that space are at least aware of what we're doing, and we can hopefully form some kind of voluntary cooperation in the efforts. Does everyone think that that's a good idea?
Could you elaborate on how you see the cooperation, like the timing in particular, and where the overlap is?
I think the cooperation would be in the sense that they're already in this draft charter, Liz, doing an abbreviated or short list of requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love the group to look at the entire list of requirements that we have thus far, which is far more extensive, and also gives some community some reasoning why different parts of the community need or want those requirements or capabilities, rather. So that group in turn can use that and see the whole picture. It may affect their own shorter list of requirements and priorities and may pull in something off our list that they would have overlooked.
And by list, do you mean the report itself, or do you mean what the survey ultimately looks like?
We don't have the survey done yet.
Yeah. Right.
So the best we can hope for is to share the report with them and at least have them review what's available right now.
Okay, thank you.
Which I think is better than us doing nothing.
Yeah, definitely. I just wanted to understand, you know, what your image of it was.
Yeah. What does everyone think? Are they comfortable with that? Are they okay with us reaching out and just saying, you know, this is what we're working on, this is what we're doing, this is the report we're going from, and we think it might be useful for you as a group to review this?
I think this is very important for us to do because you should not get stuck in the perception of who is that is inspired by the very old protocols used and the limitations that should have been overcome a long time ago. So I think this is very timely.
Okay. Great. So, Liz, just for the record, I'm going to... Wilson, are you okay with this as well?
Yeah, I have no issues at all. Good.
Okay. So then for the record, Liz, I'm going to request that Dawn do that. Of course, I'll ask the same question to Dawn and make sure he has no objections as well.
And you may want to just post it on the list, too, in case
the groups
have any further
correct
thoughts.
Yeah, I'll do that. That's a good idea.
Since this is a chair's call, they may.
Yeah. We're not... I want to be very clear, we're not telling them what to do or that they should include these requirements or that all these requirements are of equal weight or prioritization or any of that. We're simply trying to make them aware of it, ask them to review it, and see if there's anything that they feel should be considered in it. I think it's very important. I mean, I think it's valuable to the community that there is autonomy and independence in groups like the IETF. There wasn't maybe as much structure when the IRIS exercise went through between coordinated GNSO-related efforts and what was happening in the IETF. And the last time people tried to update the WHOIS service protocol, and you know, we ended up with something that really didn't get industry adoption. So if we can do something to help guide the process, to be a more proactive communication as both sides work on the issue, then hopefully we may end up with a proposed piece of work that is tenable to the vast majority of the invested stakeholders. Okay. Let's talk about, about the car. I don't know that we are going to be in a position to have any of the milestones knocked off before Dakar, except when's the next GNSO Council meeting? Is there one before Dakar?
Yeah, it's the 6th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll have approval by then.
I would hope.
Yeah, I would really, maybe as a reasonable target, buy Dakar, even if you don't have full approval from your other team members. Perhaps we could at least from each co-chair have a draft of their scope of work and their proposed project plan by Dakar. By the Dakar meeting. Does that seem reasonable?
Okay, you say a scope of work?
Yeah.
And the milestone plan, is that correct?
Correct. You know, ideally, with approved by your team members, but if not, you know, that's at least we have the draft to start considering. Is that okay, Warner?
Would you be available? I think it would be good if you could discuss things that you would share possibly privately, and that might be an idea that, you know, so we trying to tune it a little bit and get an additional opinion. Would you be available for that?
Absolutely. I'm available to all of you as you need me to be.
Okay.
For sure. Wilson, is that doable for you?
No, it's not. I'm okay with it.
You're okay with it? Okay. All right. So I guess we'll have to check with Don outside of this call. But at least even if we get 2 out of 3 done before then, as a draft anyways, I think that's it will give us something material to discuss and start working through in the Dakar meeting.
Okay.
And then, Michael, if I could.
Yep.
In Dakar, I did, I think, obtain a room for a working group meeting, if we would like one, on the Wednesday.
Okay. What time on the Wednesday?
I think 8 a.m.
Dakar time. That's fine for me. Warner,
and it's
can
not
you do
necessary,
that?
But because our scheduling is such where we need to put in a request, I wanted to quickly do so in case the group, thought that it should meet there, if enough of you were going to be there.
Sorry, I just had some noise that made me prevent from understanding what you just said.
We're looking at 8 o'clock for a 8 a.m. the Wednesday morning in Dakar for a working group meeting. Do you think that's something you could attend, Wilson and Horner?
Wednesday morning at the clock should be. I'll just check the agenda again, but usually Wednesday is okay.
Wednesday is usually good
okay.
For me.
For me, I would only attend it remotely because I won't be in Senegal for this meeting.
Okay. Does that time work for you for remote participation?
Yeah, it does, because it's within midday here.
Okay, perfect. Okay. So, Liz, why don't we put that to the group then and suggest we're going to try and do a meeting there, and if we, for whatever reason, we don't get enough attendance to make it worthwhile, we'll cancel it at that point.
Very good.
It would coincide with the GNSO council meeting.
The
but usually this is very expensive. So
in the afternoon on Wednesday. They've taken to preferring afternoon sessions to the morning sessions that were previously always reserved for the GNSO council.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have a detailed schedule of the Dakar meeting yet, so it may be a little bit, but I think we have to take chances and possibly just a meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Warner, I think we'll just book it, and if too many of us end up with a conflict to make it worthwhile, then we can cancel it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right, I think we covered off everything we suggested at the beginning of the call that we should talk about. Does anyone want to add anything more?
Nothing from me. I'll just write a summary of what we discussed for my group and send it to my group members and continue.
Perfect. And Liz, did you have anything else?
Not at this time. But in the context of the work item we have, I'll get in contact with you. So if that's okay, I'll send you an email, possibly might briefly chat about it.
Absolutely. We can figure out a time and have a call and talk through it.
Okay.
Okay. Liz, did you guys have anything more?
Nope, nothing else from me.
Okay. Liz, I just want to, already, I mean, we've always had in these groups fantastic support from ICANN staff. I've never been disappointed in this regard, but particularly this is a complicated one, and I know I can see that you're running around really helping make this one become a functional, effective group, so I really appreciate that, and everybody else who's pitching in as well. I know there's a few people in the background there helping with this one.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So with that, I think we should wind up the call.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, everyone.